Looking at Genesis this morning, evening, afternoon, right now. When I was in college, they told us in preaching class never to make time references because you all get, always get them mixed up. You'll inevitably say good morning and it's night or good evening and it's morning. I just wanted to challenge you for a few minutes here after the meal and the program about leadership. And guys, this is for you too. Go ahead and sit up in the chair, please. This is for our boys. This is for our adults. This is for our teenagers. God made you a man. Now, you're either a young man or you're young at heart. But we're all men, and God created us that way, and God has a design for us. He has a calling. You know, if I'm going to read to you from Genesis what the Bible says. I preached out of this passage a Sunday night ago on temptation and on Satan attacking mankind. It says in verse 15 of Genesis 2, "The Lord God took the man," it made Adam, "formed with the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.'" And then, the Bible says, the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." You know, you have the perfect man, the perfect situation, the perfect woman, the perfect environment. But then we look over at chapter 3, and listen to what the Bible says here. We walk in on a passage of judgment. "Unto the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception.'" We go from perfection to sorrow. "In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee." So there's strife within the relationship, perfection to strife. "Unto Adam he said, 'Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and eaten of the tree.'" He was supposed to listen to the commandments of God, but he listened to his wife and disobeyed. God said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee." Not dressing a perfect garden, but laboring. "And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." You know, we go from perfection to punishment. We go from perfect to judgment. Now, some people will blame it on the woman. Some people blame it on Eve. They'll say, you know, God came to Adam and said, "Adam, I realize you're alone, so I'm going to make you somebody to help you out. I'm going to tell you what, I'll create a perfect woman. She'll be beautiful. She won't ever complain. She'll fix meals for you. It's going to be great." And Adam says, "What's it going to cost me?" And God said, "Well, it'll cost you an arm and a leg." Adam thought about it for a minute. He said, "God, what can I get for a rib?" No, that's not the way that it happened. Some people blame it on the woman. I have to tell that in a group when all the women are, because they think I'm serious. But I'm not. The truth is, we've heard the statement said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Somebody's heard it before. And see, God wanted Adam to be the leader in the world. I believe that what happened at the very beginning, and this is where I differ from some, I believe Eve bit the fruit to start with, but the fall, the responsibility of sin entering the human race falls squarely on the shoulders of Adam, the man, shoulders of Adam, because God wants men to be leaders in society, young men, adults, at church and at home, that we might lead in spiritual things that we might protect our family from Satan's attacks, that we might take a stand for that which is right instead of following the crowd. I just want to share with you a challenge, dropping the ball of leadership. Let's not do that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please help me as I speak to the men here. Connect with our hearts. We need it. In your name I pray. Amen. I believe, now some people will say that male headship in the New Testament, when Paul the Apostle talks about the husband being the head of the wife, that that's a result of sin being in the world. I don't believe that's the case at all. I believe that Adam was the head of his home before. He was to be the leader before. Throughout the account in Genesis chapter 2, God communicated with Adam, and it was Adam's responsibility to lead his family. In fact, in verse 15, the commandment went to Adam. The Lord God commanded the man, and he said, you need to dress it, you need to keep it, I've given you this garden. He was given the responsibility to keep the garden. In verse 16, he was given the responsibility to obey the commandments of God and then to teach his family the commandments of God. The Bible doesn't tell us that God even spoke to Eve about these commandments. They were given to Adam to be the spiritual leader. Adam's given the privilege of naming the animals, and in Hebrew mindset, naming something is making it your own. Isn't that what you do when you bring a dog home? You tell your kids, we're not keeping it, don't name it. Because once you name it, you put your mark on it. And so God allowed Adam to have responsibility in the garden, leading his family, leading in obedience, having dominion over the world. And I believe this extends even to the family. In fact, it's God's design for us as men to be sacrificial, godly leaders at home. Listen to what this passage says in Ephesians. You've heard this before, but don't balk against it. The world pushes against this passage. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. There's an authority structure. It's not bad. It's not wrong. As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And some people would say, well, I don't think anybody should be the boss. Everybody's equal. But the Bible says there has to be a leader and there has to be followers. We wouldn't push against Christ being the head of the church. Leadership is not wrong unless the leadership is wrong. And see, the reason why the human race fell is because the leadership fell on that day. Adam did. He fell on his job. And many times, if you look at society and you see the way that the nation is going and you trace it all the way back to the home, it falls apart at the home. There's a couple things that Adam did that are convicting to me as a father, and maybe it'll be convicting to you. First of all, Adam failed to teach his family the Word of God. You know, I made reference to this in chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Every tree, freely eat. But he says, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Every tree, freely eat, surely die. But when you come to chapter 3 and you look at the interchange between Eve and the serpent when she faces temptation for the first time in her life, most likely, because they were innocent, there was no sin in the world, and Satan, he manifested in the form of a serpent, or he indwelt a serpent, whichever. And it says this, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She forgot the freely part. She forgot every. She held down. She took away from God's words. And the woman said unto him, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say that. She took away from God's words. Then she added to God's words. And then she said, ye shall not touch it, lest ye die. God didn't say, lest ye die. He said, ye shall surely die. She took away from God's word. She added to God's word. She sanitized the judgment of God. She didn't know God's word. And I believe it rested squarely on the shoulders of Adam for not teaching his family God's word. You want to know one problem in America? Is that too many of us fathers have spent the 128 hours a week pursuing so many things, and we do. We have a drive, we pursue, we go out, we conquer, we work, we provide, we build things, and sometimes we neglect the commandment. It's on the screen. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, how often do we see that it's the mom drawing to family altar, the mom leading families to church, the mom teaching the kids the Word of God. And I'm not getting on your case if you come from an unsaved background or whatever, but men, God calls us to step up. He calls us to be the spiritual leaders that we struggle to be. And that speaks to me because I know that I need to be better. My kids need to learn from the leader. You know, Adam failed to teach his family the Word of God, and so they were vulnerable to Satan's attacks. But he also failed by exposing his family to wrong influences. Think about it this way. God told Adam, you can eat of every tree of the garden. Now, I don't know how large the garden was. The Bible doesn't really tell us exactly, and we don't have a map of it. You know, you see the Bible maps and things. But I know there were more trees than one. Why were they hanging out around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He was taking her to the wrong side of the tracks for date night. That's all I have to say, okay? They should have been in other places. And because Adam was not protective of his family, he allowed his family to be brought in. And I'm using the word family because they were brought together by God. That was a family unit. Okay, you don't have the children to have a family. It's a family unit. Because he dropped his guard, he exposed his family to the wrong influences. How often do we allow our family to be exposed to ungodly influences because we just drop our guard? It's our job to protect them, to intercept temptation. He shouldn't have allowed this conversation to continue and progress. What kind of a man lets his wife talk to a snake? You say, Pastor, you're being kind of hard on Adam. Well, we see what he did. No, it's nothing less than what we've done. We let our family come in contact with snakes, if you want to put it that way. We bring things into our family, into our home sometimes. What kind of man lets his wife talk to a snake that disagrees with God? How often do we bring things into our home that we know disagrees with what the Word of God says? Relationships, friends. We let our kids go to friends' house and we know there's going to be ungodly influences. Some we can control. What we can control, we ought to. You know, I think Adam may have held back for the same reason we do. He didn't really want a conflict with his wife. You ever take the easy road because you don't want conflict? You don't have to raise your hand because maybe you don't. Maybe that's just me, okay? But that peace is good, but if peace means ignoring harmfulness, it's simply the wimp's way out. Eve wouldn't have appreciated it, but we'd all been better off. It's our job to intercept bad information, bad communication, temptation, protecting our children, their hearts, and their minds from being infiltrated, from being corrupted by the things we bring in our home, by the television shows that we watch, by the unchecked internet access, by the friends that we allow into our... We need to be in control of that, and like it or not, God holds us accountable as leadership. Adam failed to teach his family the Word of God. He failed to protect from temptation. But then I think thirdly and finally, he failed by following the crowd instead of leading. And this is a hard one. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to be make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat. Now, up to that point, the human race hadn't fallen into sin because the Bible says that sin comes through the seed of the man. That's why Christ could be born with no sin nature, because he was born of a woman, but God was his father. Okay. Well, Eve took of the fruit. She did eat. Adam's standing there. He knows God's commandment. And what does he do? The Bible says, she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Why did he eat? Now, some people say, well, that, you know, there's a bunch of conjecture. Some people say, well, when Eve ate of the fruit, then Adam couldn't imagine a life without her. And I'm not sure of his intentions, but you know what the Bible says? She disobeyed, and then he disobeyed. He knew it was wrong. And the Bible says, and Paul the Apostle speaks of this in Timothy, it says that even though the woman was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He ate knowing wrong. It was wrong. He gave in to peer pressure. He failed to lead and became a follower. And here I believe the human race fell. Our nation is following. We no longer have leaders who lead. We have leaders who become pollsters. Instead of leading, they poll their constituents to see what people want, and then they lead. Well, that's not leading. Okay? Leading is making the difficult decisions that maybe not everyone will like, but it's leading by example. And if and I'll tell you right now, if you're leading and some people aren't, if you're leading and everybody loves you, you're probably taking the easy route out. We need men to lead by example, to take the first step in righteousness, to set the pace for the family. We need men who will take the first step, not just follow. You know, do as I say, but not as I do doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you order someone, but you don't lead them by your example, they'll obey you for a time, but they won't respect you, and your spoken convictions won't be their heart convictions. That's what we want to do, is to raise up children. And some of you say, well, I'm already done raising my children. But if you have contact with your grandchildren, you still are a leader. If you don't have any children, you still have contact with children in the church, in the community. I was talking to a man at the YMCA, and he says, I don't have any kids. He says, I don't have any grandkids, but all these kids around the neighborhood come over to my house, and I get to teach them how to ride a unicycle. God's given him an area of ministry. And each one of us, if we were to think about that, God gives us a sphere of influence that we can be a leader, that we can set the pace, that we can introduce righteousness. See, there's an American problem that we have many women leading their homes, and they're capable. But if you look at the Bible, every time women are in leadership, it's a sign of judgment because men have taken a step back, and we just don't want to put in the effort. See, we need to personally obey the Word of God, leading by example. And as we follow Christ, our families will follow us. A lesson like this is difficult because the truth is in our flesh we're less than what we ought to be, each one of us. But it's also encouraging because we look back and we see what Adam did, and yet through Jesus Christ, the second Adam, we can succeed where he has fallen. We can be leaders better tomorrow than we have been in the past. And I'm looking at a church of men who are good leaders. But by God's grace, we can improve some of those protections. We can avoid some of those exposures, and we can take that difficult step sometimes. It may not be peaceful, but if it's right, it's right. We need to teach our family the Word of God, us, men. We need to protect our families from wrong influences. We need to lead by example. I'm going to ask this question, then I'll close. If your family is following you as a leader, your example, what will your kids be doing in 10 years or 15 years? If they're following you, where will your footsteps lead them? Where are you leading? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the awesome opportunity you've given us as fathers, as men, young men, middle-aged, adult. Some of us, dear Lord, we've led for a lot of years. I know some here in this room have. God, please help us to recognize that you gave us a position in society. You gave us a role, a design that the world needs. The world needs us to lead. Help us, dear Lord, to take up that torch, that mantle, to lead those around us by example, by doing right. In your name I pray. Amen. Glad you guys came out today. Hope you enjoyed yourself. And we've got... Okay, I'm not getting on your case. Who is not going to be here tomorrow? Anybody here not going to be here tomorrow? Okay, you're going to be here. I got something to give you, okay? After the service, I got something to give you. And I may have enough to give one to you. Okay, I'll just have to check. All right, the rest of you guys will get it tomorrow. I got a little gift for the fathers tomorrow, okay? All right, you're dismissed. Thank you. 27? Yeah. Okay.